It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, our special on the Alliance of American Football. And we're going to have got a huge show for you. And I know there's a lot of fun and a lot of great guests, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Dave, we're very excited to take a look at the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, the 8-team league that is beginning play later tonight. Over the last few weeks, we had the opportunity to catch up with a couple of folks who have ECU ties who are involved with this new league. First, we talked to the VP of Marketing with the Memphis Express, Greg Herring. Greg used to serve as an assistant AD for marketing and sales at ECU from the fall of 2013 to the spring of last year. So it was great to catch up with Greg, and he had a lot of great things to say about this new league. And now let's go to that interview with Greg Herring, the VP of Marketing with the Memphis Express.
Here on the Sports Objective, of course, we cover our home team, East Carolina, a lot, and other sports. That's why it's called the Sports Objective. And I know, Bubba, we have a very special guest with us, a guy that was at ECU and now going on to bigger and better things, literally.
Yeah, we do, Dave. Greg Herring, he was at ECU for nearly 5 years and spent nearly 2 decades in college athletics administration, and now he's with the new football league, new spring league, that's going to be debuting here at the end of February, here in just a couple months, and he's with the Memphis Express as the VP of marketing, and so great to have him on the Sports Objective tonight. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming on.
Appreciate you, Greg.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and it's always good to check in with the guys back in Eastern North Carolina.
No doubt about it, Greg. I know that you spent a lot of time in Greenville. What are your thoughts? First of all, I know that we'll talk about your experiences, obviously, in administration, but what are your thoughts of Greenville and East Carolina?
You know, Greenville's a great place. You know, thoroughly enjoyed the region, and I had spent 6 years in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at Southern Miss, and while I was there 2003 to 2008, ECU and Southern Miss always seemed to kind of be sister schools in Conference USA and very similar in size of city and programs, fan bases. And it just seems that the right combination was found at ECU back when Skip was coaching, and you guys really took off and left Southern Miss in the dust and was able to, of course, achieve getting into the American and some of the big sellout games that we've had there in Dottie Ficklin. So, you know, really enjoyed my time there. Great memories. You know, there's spots within my career that ECU has always come up. In fact, my first conference championship as a director of marketing at Southern Miss was actually against ECU back in the JT era days. And so just a lot of times have crossed paths with East Carolina, and somehow I just knew I'd always end up there. And when given the opportunity back in the summer of, gosh, what was that, 2013, I guess it was now, jumped at the opportunity to come be a part of Pirate Nation.
Yeah, Greg, when you taking a look at the AAF, obviously back in, I guess it was the early 2000s, I think maybe 2001 to be exact, the XFL, Vince McMahon gave it a run, and of course that was very, very short-lived. With the AAF, and can you just give our listeners, for the people that aren't familiar with the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, tell them essentially what the league is?
Yeah, so the Alliance of American Football, new spring league that debuts February 9th. You know, we have the belief that football doesn't have to end in February. Obviously, we start up the weekend after the Super Bowl, and so, you know, typically there's about 65 million viewers of football that stop watching sports altogether after Super Bowl Sunday. And so there's an opportunity to capitalize on that viewership and that fandom and continue to basically deliver football fans around the world a product that they'll be proud of. You know, there's only so many jobs in the NFL that these are 10,000 guys coming out of college football can fill. So, you know, we're going to have some great talent, some guys that are trying to get their shot at the league, and some guys who've been in the league and tried to prove they should be back up there. So, you know, we've got 8 teams around the Alliance, 4 in the East, 4 in the West, and we'll play a 10-game schedule, kind of do it home-at-home in your division, and then one game against out-of-division competition. We'll have a divisional playoff game, and then we have a neutral site championship April 27th in Las Vegas, Nevada, and it's the same day as the NFL draft. So basically, we will fill your football needs from Super Bowl to draft for those 3 months, providing a great opportunity for fans to be engaged, not only watching football, but really being able to participate in the game a lot more with our new app product that we're bringing out in the digital space.
Okay. One thing that I found very interesting, I was taking a look at the website prior to the interview and just looking at ticket pricing. And the ticket pricing seems very affordable. And it's, you have tickets anywhere from $75 for five games for season tickets all the way up to about $170 per game for the top of the line. So talk a little bit about that and the way you guys and the league and the teams have chosen to go about the ticket pricing and making it very affordable and appealing to the fans.
Well, that's really it. You know, we have three things that we're all about, and that's the football, the players, and our fans. And so we want to take care and put a good product on the field. We want to make sure our athletes taken care of, and we want to make sure our fans are looked out for. If you think about family, the average, you know, the quote unquote average family of four going to an NFL game, trying to sit between, let's say, the 20-yard lines, concessions, parking, all that, you're looking at about a $1,300 spend for a family of four to go to one NFL game. And so you really, it's not affordable for the average family to do that. So for us, you know, we have policies in place that there are tickets between the lower level seats, between the 20-yard lines for $35 per game. And so between that, parking, concessions, you know, we feel you can, as a family of four, can get in and out for experience for about $200 to $250, depending on how many trips you make to the concession stand. But, you know, we really want to make sure the fan has the opportunity to be a part of this. As you mentioned, ticket prices for a general, you know, you can go as low as $75 for the season all the way up to $850. And that's just for us here in Memphis. And the opportunities for the fan can go everything from sitting in a crazy fan section like we call the hub. You kind of think about soccer mentality and soccer hooligans you see on television in the end zones. You know, that's kind of what we're going to try to create in that section. We have a family-friendly section with no alcohol and no cursing. We have something that's never been done before anywhere in college or pro football that I've seen, and that's having on-field seating. We're going to create some seats in the end zone, as well as some cabanas on the field that people can rent, and that's what we call that our first class section, because obviously we're the Memphis Express, where our logo is a plane, and so we're kind of using the plane terminology to kind of go. So we're going to put that in first class. We're building out some party decks within the stadium here at the Liberty Bowl, which has, again, never been done. So we're really kind of making some investments to create an experience for the fan that they've never seen before in Liberty Bowl. I mean, it's been we've estimated it's been over 200 games in that stadium since the last time there was a professional football team that played there. And, you know, in some form or fashion, it's always a college game. It's the Tigers versus somebody, or it's the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and it's two colleges and two bands and two whatevers. And so we want to create something different that this community, this city's never seen before. So by really kind of investing in the fan experience inside that bowl versus putting everything outside the bowl really provides a whole new experience for the consumer.
Yeah, that's very interesting what you mentioned as far as the field level seating, because I know, of course, this is something that will be very familiar with you with the Southside Expansion Project at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. That field level club was something that was part of that project, and I think I haven't really spoken with anybody from the ECU Pirate Club about this or that kind of thing, but it seems as though, I mean, that was supposed to be ready for this season, but it apparently – at least got put on hold. So
it did. I was in some meetings with on that topic before I left ECU, and you know, I don't want to step on toes or speak out of turn, but that was kind of put on hold because I think we needed to realize and look at the model to figure out, you know, besides pouring a slab of concrete on, you know, between the field and the Murphy Center, what were you really getting as a fan experience? Yeah, you're getting close to the action. Players come running out there. You get be part of the smoke plume that comes over, you know, after the team takes the field. But, you know, there's not necessarily restrooms down there. There's not covered shade for shade or for weather conditions. So there was just some things I think that they'll have to reevaluate as part of that project to make sure that if they're going to do it, you're going to do it right. You know, whether it's, you know, creating some kind of canopy or something, or, you know, creating access back into the Murphy Center for restrooms. I think there's just some challenges there logistically that probably weren't thought through initially, but the concept sounded good and we kind of wanted to run with it.
You know, Greg, when you were talking about this, Dave, when you were talking about the cost of NFL, about 10 years ago before I was married, obviously, took a date and her son to a Panthers game. And when I tell you, that's probably the closest I'll ever be to heaven. I was so far up. And with parking, everything, it was at least $500. Maybe I might be on the conservative end of how much I spent with gas, food, tailgating, the whole nine yards. So when you said $250, that's not a bad deal when you consider it's a professional team. And I really am pulling hard for you guys because the cost of everything, if you have those three letters, NFL, it just seems like it doubles or triples.
Yeah, you're definitely correct. And you know, speaking of the Panthers game, I went to one Panthers game in my time in North Carolina. And for me, it actually was going along with the marching band performed down there several years ago and went along as a kind of liaison from athletics. And we too sat clear up. I mean, I think I was three rows from the very top and was touching the sky there. So it's a tough place to get into. But, you know, now here in Memphis, we've got the Grizzlies and the NBA. You think about the Panthers in Carolina and other teams. Professional sports are expensive, and you're paying high salaries. You're paying for the players. You're paying for all those things to cover the team expenses. For us, our revenue model and expenditure model is much different than you see from previous leagues or current leagues. And one of the things we get asked here in Memphis all the time, because there was an XFL team here, there was the USFL team here, and everybody's like, okay, you're another iteration of this. Why are you going to succeed when other teams haven't? And I always tell them that our revenue and funding model is completely different and makes it more sustainable. And to that point, you know, the USFL went out and paid large contracts to the Steve Youngs of the world and guys that were, you know, coming, Reggie White was here in Memphis. Yeah, they paid a lot of money. They kind of use the NFL model. Let's pay the stars, and let's hope the gate covers the expenditure so we can put it back in the pockets. Well, it didn't. You know, they paid too much money. The fans didn't show up. They went broke, and they had to merge. And, you know, the XFL was funded 50% by NBC. So when the ratings started to dip and they weren't making money on it, NBC had to pull out, thus, you know, needing to collapse the lead. For us, all of our players, we do not have a players union. All of our players make $250,000 over 3 years. You make $70,000, $80,000, and $100,000 in your third year. So we know how they'll be paid. They will be bonused on things they do in the community, things they do on the field. And so we know and kind of expect what that hard cost is for contracts. Our TV revenue is not a mainstream. It's one of our revenues, but we are actually more of a technology company than we are a football league. How we're supported, who our investors are, you know, we're funded out of Silicon Valley and San Francisco area. That you know, we're in it for a long haul. We're not in it for a short term, you know, 1 or 2 years like XFL. We're looking 3, 5, 7, 10 years down the line, and so, you know, financially, our revenue is a little different. Our funding is a little different. But when you know you've got 52 players per 8 teams, X number of coaches, X number of staff, because, you know, each team's carrying about the same number of staff in the front office, we know what those expenditures are in budgets, and you can account for it. So much different, I think, in terms of longevity and how that plays out on the revenue side.
When you were talking about, Greg, when you were talking about the USFL, I'm a little bit older than the guys. I'm 45, and they're about 7, 8 years younger. But they were in diapers probably when the USFL was on. But I remember that league had potential But the biggest mistake they made, including by the current president of the United States, who wanted to go up against the NFL, if they had just stayed like you guys in this, like, spring or the time period you guys are talking about now, they had a chance to really, they could be still vibrant today. I mean, I don't know if that, who knows what will happen, but do you guys ever plan to go a fall league, or is it always going to be, I know I say always, but in the near future, will it be the same timetable as far as the when the season is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the sweet spot, right? Is why go head to head with somebody who's got, you know, 60 plus years of history and experience and, you know, billions of dollars ahead of you. That's nonsense. So we might as well, you know, be a complementary league. And in fact, you know, NFL, while not necessarily a financial investor or backer of our league, is wholeheartedly supportive of what we're trying to accomplish, because for them, they're going to get more talent out of, you know, develop the talent, because guys can either go overseas or they can play in Canada. But, you know, if you're a receiver or a quarterback, you can always throw and catch balls and run routes and work on your speed and quickness, right? But if you're a 350-pound lineman who got cut from an NFL team because your drop step is just a second slow, where are you going to practice that skill in real time other than in games? And so for players who want to go play, you know, going to Canada is great. That's an opportunity they can certainly pursue. But if you look at a player up there who makes, say, $100,000, that translates roughly to $85,000 in U.S. dollars when you bring it across, international line there. You then figure you're paying, you know, multiple taxes, including international tax. So now that you're paying three taxes on that $85,000, you're really down to about $35,000 to just get pounded in a league that, you know, doesn't get a lot of airtime, doesn't get a lot of publicity, and really is in your home country. For us, if you play here in Tennessee for the Express, or you play for the Florida team, you're actually making more money because you don't have state income tax. So, that $70,000 goes a long way in 1 year, and then again goes up to 80, and then to 100 in year three. So, but along the way, if those players get opportunities to go to the league, they get picked up. In fact, we saw the first round quarterback draft, who's drafted for the San Diego Fleet, our team out on the West Coast. Their first round quarterback just got picked up a week or two ago for the Redskins and won the game for them last Sunday. And on that same team, the Redskins on Friday stole our long snapper, Andrew East, a Vanderbilt standout, and took him, and he was part of that game winning field goal they had. So, we're already seeing players get chances just because they're being noticed and being, you know, recognized for still being great players or being guys that should have gotten an opportunity. You know, GMs and personnel across the NFL are going, wait a minute, this guy was pretty good. Let's give him a second chance. If AAF thinks there's something to him, we should take a look at him as well. So, and we want those guys to go be successful. You know, we want them to be successful, whether it's going up to the NFL or, you know, if this is their last shot at career, then we want to make sure we're providing them with the educational tools and the, you know, the development opportunities to further themselves out off the field as they expand their next chapter in life.
Greg, go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey, it's Kyle. One thing I've always thought about, being a huge college football fan and just a casual NFL fan, but I always, you know, once the season's over, I'm not necessarily craving football again immediately. It's always around springtime, around the time the preseason mags come out, and I'm getting ready for the college season and for the NFL season. It's when I'm really hungry for any football. Was there any thought of taking the league and maybe playing it in the late spring for early summer, maybe something like April through July, May through July?
You know, I can't speak to that. I don't know. That was certainly long thought of long before I ever got associated with the Alliance. You know, I think just from my perspective, you know, you're going head-to-head then now. You're getting into Major League Baseball, and there's so many baseball fans out there. You get in some heat issues, some of the locations you're playing into, you know, April, May, June. Now you're, you know, in Birmingham, you're in Orlando, you're here, and you start getting some heat issues. So, you know, I think the sweet spot, again, is the proven stats of, you know, how many millions of people stop watching sports altogether just because football's over. And I think, you know, to your point, Kyle, you know, you stop watching, you get that fix come April. People have been conditioned for that, right? You think about how the recruiting of college players has been done. You know, now that I know that December 20th is coming up and it's, you know, a really signing period now, but it used to be that February 2nd or that first Tuesday in February was always signing day, or it was Wednesday, whatever that is. And then your, you know, NFL gets done, and then you're kind of, you're talking about the draft and who's going to go ready. You've just been conditioned as a fan to get used to that. So part of our job is to educate that you don't have to stop watching good talent and just provide an alternative to wishing it was coming around next.
Greg, I wanted to ask you a question as far as, I know Kyle and Bubba and I are TV contract nerds, and certainly when it comes to different ways to watch, I'm an old dog, but I am learning new tricks as far as how I consume these games. Can you talk about, I know there's talk of the American Now, a conference you know well. We've got our contract with East Carolina and all the sister schools and the American coming up next year with Commissioner Mike Oresko. Is there different platforms, maybe Netflix, Facebook, or I know you have the deal, I believe, with CBS?
Yeah, so our primary contract for television is with CBS. They have agreed to put the very first inaugural game along with the championship game on CBS network television for us in the spring. So in between, so if you count the 12-week schedule between the regular season and the two games there in postseason, the network has the first and the last. In between those 10 games, there will be a national game of the week in which CBS Sports Network will pick up one national game of the week. Their other games will be broadcast back to local markets, and we each will have our own local TV deals in our respective markets. The broadcast will be put out and produced by the league. The Alliance will produce the every game. We'll put it out. So it really kind of reduces any kind of cost for the local carrier, because that's the biggest expense. You know, just thinking back to ECU, I mean, when IMG was broadcasting games there locally in the market, it was costing $50,000 or more per game on production. That was, you know, I don't want to say a low-level production, but that's one truck and a satellite time. That's it. You know, for a league, a professional league, you're probably looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars of production costs and expenses. And so the league will take care of that, and we'll put the feed out that the local market can pick up and put on air here. So that is the first, and that's kind of the normal television type consumer there. In doing such, because we control the broadcast, we're also going to deliver that through our app. And so we'll have live streaming through our app product. And this is what's really special for us. And I really think that this probably is actually the product that we're developing, and the football is just the means by which we get to unveil this. And so, you know, our app will be have live streaming. It'll have in real time. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in stands or in your couch at home, you'll see the same content at the same time. And so in real time, live streaming, live stats, but it's kind of, we call it a 2.0 version. Our players will all have wearables on their body, on their shoulder pads, and their helmets. The ball will have a sensor in it, so you'll be able to tell heart rates and how tired a player is. You'll know how fast or how hard the ball is being thrown, some of the velocity and hits the players will take. We will deliver that in that same app so that you can see the stats on these players. And so we're taking, so you figure live streaming, live stats, and then we're also laying in the idea of Fortnite gaming, where you can invite your friends and you can have coins and you kind of play this game around what we're doing. We're layering in a level of called HQ Trivia, which you may be familiar with. It's an app that's out there that asks like 5 questions twice a day. If you answer a number of questions correctly, you have a chance to win money. So we'll layer that type of idea in there. So we may ask you questions of, you know, where did so-and-so play college ball? How many horsepower did the Dodge Ram that we just showed you on the video board have in its engine? So things of that nature we'll probably do. And then we keep going, adding another layer onto it where you're actually creating your fantasy football league through the app. So if you imagine adding on, you know, the kind of that fantasy component as well as FanDuel. So now you'll also be able to gamble right from and lay your bets in gaming right there from the app. So you know, we're the first sports league that's really openly adopted the idea that understand that, you know, sports fans like to bet, they like to wager on what's going to happen. And so we've openly embraced that concept. We've partnered with MGM to handle the sports, you know, the sports book for that for us in states that it's legal to do so. And, you know, so now really, you know, we're going to let you do all these things in real time. And so normally if you're a fantasy football participant, you're laying, you know, you're locking in your team on Wednesday or Thursday, and you're passively sitting by waiting for the games to happen to see what happens. And you're talking trash with your friends on Facebook or different apps or texting them. And so what we're going to do is we're going to allow you to change your fantasy team in real time as it happens. So if your quarterback goes down in game, change your quarterback. If you're seeing through the technology and the wearables that the defensive line is sucking wind and, you know, really tired, it's third and goal late in the game, and you want to lay a parlay bet down that the team's just going to score, lay it down. And so all this is in real time and really being in, it really immerses the fan. And we kind of call it the term gamification. You're basically now gamifying it yourself and kind of doing everything but calling the plays, if you will. And so you're changing the lines of the game as it happens. You're participating, and you're staying engaged because, you know, right now college and NFL games last 3.5-4 hours. Our games have timed out because we don't have any TV timeouts during the quarters. Our games timed out at 2 hours and 3 minutes. So you can be in and out in 2.5 hours from our game, but for that 2 hours, you are engaged on our app, and you're watching it, you're playing along, you're doing fantasy, or you're actually laying some bets down, whatever it might be. And so it's really going to be, you're going to be fully immersed as a fan and consumer.
The real-time fantasy and the real-time gambling, that's genius. I'm really, to be honest with you, the whole league kind of, I've been skeptical on any kind of pro league outside of the NFL. But what you're telling me about that app with the real-time fantasy and the real-time gambling is as much as people get immersed in their apps today with social media and such, That's going to be huge for the league. That's money, just straight money.
We really kind of hope so, and I think that's probably the long-term play more so than the league, to be quite honest, and that's just my opinion. But it's happened to be about 2 months ago, I read an article in the Washington Post that Ted Leonis, the owner of the Capitals and the Wizards there in D.C., talked about this same concept of gamification and how fans are consumed, and that literally, fans will go to arenas and not go into their seats, but go into massive bars that just have, you know, the screens and technology and data everywhere being delivered. And it was almost as if he talked to our ownership group, because what he was talking about is exactly what we're bringing to market first before anybody else is.
That brings to mind, too, Greg, with one of the things that we struggle with, I know because of the losses at East Carolina, but across the board, when you look at sports, is getting people in their seats instead of their eyeballs on their tablets or their phones or at the old way of the television. Are there anything that you can do? I've heard of like pro teams like having like interactive things at the people's seats. Are there anything like that you guys could do at there in Memphis to like with that with the app which you're talking about? I was wondering if you could do that. In other words, with someone sitting in the seat, you could actually be playing fantasy and placing bets as you're watching the game.
That's exactly it. It doesn't matter if you're on your couch, you're at home on your couch, you're in the stands, that app, that technology will work. And so you're truly immersed in that second screen opportunity. You're not just watching what's on the video board or in front of you on the field. You now will deliver content, replays, stats, all these things to your phone right there in front of your tablet. And you know, why fight that trend? I've had people I've worked with, you know, try to tell me like we need to discourage people from using their phones, that it's disrespectful, or we need to like, you know, make sure that, you know, the fans are watching the game and cheering. And it's just this is not happening anymore. You know, when you think back, you know, Dave, I'm not too much younger than you are. And, you know, you think back to when we were in college. You know, you didn't have a phone. You didn't have a phone in your pocket. You weren't checking in with your friends or your girlfriend, or if you're parents and you had kids, like you weren't asking, you know, when are you going to be home and do you need a ride? That's just the case now. And so why fight it? You might as well actually embrace it and deliver content to that phone and tablet they're going to have in their hand or have them with it. In fact, you know, there at ECU, if you think at the home games, particularly at football, you know, we brought a technology to the stadium where people could actually share their photos and their experience and send it right to the video board. You know, we, of course, monitored to make sure it was clean and correct, but we wanted to share your photos and your tweets, your experience. And so, you know, share it with the rest of the fans, and people like seeing that. They like being a part of that game day production. So, you know, I'm really a firm believer of, you know, embrace it, find ways to, you know, engage in music because it's going to be in their hands no matter what. So how can you do this? And I think, you know, our league founders have really done a great job of creating this product that will just continually for 2 hours immerse the fan nonstop in what's going on. And again, if somebody's a big fancy player or likes to gamble, it could either be their best friend or their worst nightmare.
When you were talking about the time, that's another thing that's been a big thing for me when I heard about that. When I heard about the announcement of the league, I was really excited about it because I absolutely love NFL, unlike the other guys on the podcast. I really love it a lot. But the problem is I can only get through maybe one game because you're looking at 3.5-4 hours sometimes, especially if you're looking at overtime. And when people pick on one of my favorite sports, MLB with baseball, man, some of the college and pro football games can go on forever.
Oh, it can. And, you know, baseball is not a sport that I'll go if the dogs are hot and the beer is cold. And that's kind of my philosophy with baseball. But, it, you know, it's sitting there, you know, at Clark LeClaire, those games can drag on sometimes if we're in a pitcher's duel and, you know, you're trying to score some runs. Those go on, and it's some cold nights, and people, you see people getting up and leaving. It's you're going to be a hardcore fan to watch baseball, and I think that's the same experience it's gotten to be with NFL or college football the same way. And so the fact that we're speeding the game up, and we're not changing the rules drastically. People ask all the time, you know, so you're a developmental league or you're semi-pro. And no, we're professional football, but we're doing a few things for player safety as well as for the fan that's going to speed things up. For example, we are not going to have kickoffs. Number one place, people get injured, head collisions. There are no kickoffs. You get the ball on the 25-yard line. Let's play some ball. There are no extra points. You can only play two-point conversions. Again, head-to-head is also, you know, the collisions you get from extra points is a safety issue. And from a fan perspective, you know, going for two is a little more exciting than knowing that you're going to get an extra point, you know, after every touchdown. Onside kicks won't be the same. We're going to have, I may not be correct on this exactly, but I think it's something along the lines of we're going to place, if you want to do an onside kick, you take the ball to 25, it's 4th and 15. If you convert it, keep going. If you don't, you turn over and downs and it's back the other way with the other team. Our play clock is 5 seconds shorter. Our halftime is 5 minutes shorter. As I mentioned earlier, we do not have timeouts during the quarters. We'll only have a minute and a half commercial break between quarters. And so we've just sped everything up. And I think also not only does it help the fan and the consumer who's watching either at home or in the stadium, I think with that, then your kids are, you know, more engaged. You don't have to leave, you know, the third quarter with, you know, little Johnny or Susie who's getting anxious and kind of fidgety to go home. But I think it also benefits the safety of the players because if you think about, you know, how long, you know, the offensive defense is on the sideline waiting to get back on the field, you know, they too can kind of lose focus. They're sitting around, they get cold, they're not engaged in keeping loose. And so with our play happening, these long timeouts don't happen. You're not having 3 minutes or more between plays just because you got to throw a commercial on the screen. I think our players will be more engaged and will stay, hopefully, a little more healthy as well.
What about as far as one thing that comes to mind? I know it's early on in the league, but and I know it depends on how well things go, but what about expansion? Are you guys looking – I mean, I'm selfish being all three of us from the state of North Carolina. Is there a hope maybe to have a team in Charlotte or the Raleigh-Durham area?
You know, I think there is game plan for if things go well. They're certainly looking at opportunities to expand, and if that's 14th, 18th, I don't know. And I don't know where those cities are, but I think if you look at where our teams currently are, we've tried to stay away from cities or markets that already have professional football teams. And I think that's one of those things you look at that, again, USFL is kind of going head-to-head. XFL definitely went right to head-to-head, and they're going to do it again. The XFL announced you know, their cities, and they're going to go, you know, I think 7 of their 8 teams are going to be in markets that they already have at least one, if not two, professional football teams in the NFL. So, you know, for us, let's give opportunities where there isn't anything. I think, you know, just my personal opinion, I think you look right now, San Antonio has a team in our West Division. You know, San Antonio's been passed up so many times by NFL for relocation or opportunities. Their fan base is craving football, and they're really doing a great job on ticket sales. San Diego is just, you know, I don't know if I can say pissed off on air here, but they're just pissed off that they lost the Chargers. And so the fleet and the Alliance are providing a product to that market that they didn't want to see gone. And so I think you're seeing that in our markets. Same thing here. Our fans in Memphis were upset many, many years ago when the Titans kind of teased us with the idea of bringing them here, you know, from Houston, and then, you know, left a year earlier than they told us we were going to and went to Nashville. And so if there's expansion, you know, opportunities, I think that'd be great for us. It provides more opportunities for more players and more fans to alike. You know, personally, I think, you know, if you look at the Carolinas, you know, Charlotte right there, you know, you could look at Raleigh. I think you'd also look at Myrtle Beach, you know, or somewhere, you know, in that area that there's, you know, there's a huge population, but there's not a true sports team, or just somewhere in that market. Personally, I'd love that. My parents have a place down in that area, so I maybe have to look for a new job down there if that's the case. But, yeah, look for cities that don't have current NFL teams, and maybe that's where we'll end up placing somebody in the future if things go well, as we hope they do this year, and we can expand.
I tell you,
Norfolk area would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's what you read my mind. Norfolk, I don't understand why they don't have a team. They've got so many people there in the military and a lot of great people there. It's amazing how many people they have and no pro team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Greg, I know that we've kept you for a long time. You're a great interview. I used to listen to you all the time on 94.3 The Game and all the different stations. So I know you'd be great. And I'm excited about this new league, especially. It's kind of depressing after February. It's like, oh, my God, the Super Bowl. You love the Super Bowl, but then there's no football. And, hey, we've got football now all the way through at least to what, the end of April? Is it April again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first game's February 9th for the league, and then we finish up with our championship April 27th. And to your point, Dave, there's the Alliance put out and created a great video called What If? And I would encourage listeners and you guys to – go check it out on YouTube and just look up the Alliance of American Football, What If? And it's probably, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes long, and talks about what if football didn't have to end in February and all the sadness that happens, and what if you didn't have to, you know, stop watching and all these things. And it's a great video that kind of paints that picture of, like, gosh, it's just kind of a no-brainer and such a dismal time for football fans, and they have to, you know, turn off the television or find something else to watch. So certainly encourage you to go look at that video and certainly listen to the listeners to follow along with the Alliance throughout our inaugural season. I think it's going to be a great ride for all of us. And, you know, certainly, you know, with any startup comes a few, speed bumps along the way. And you need to think about, I think we're less than 55 days away now from our first game. And still plenty of things to iron out and fans to buy tickets and opportunities to get engaged in our communities. But it'll all come together.
Dave, Greg, I actually have one quick question for Greg. I know he's been okay. Very generous with his time. Earlier we were talking about the marketability of your product from the standpoint of just affordability, ticket pricing. Talk a little bit about, of course, you're looking to any types of coaches, players. You have the likes of Steve Spurrier with the Orlando team. And then you guys have, of course, Mike Singletary, who's notorious for his career with the Chicago Bears. And then also was the head coach with the San Francisco 49ers. Talk about and marketability from that standpoint, both coaches and players. I know your quarterback there at Memphis is, I was looking at the roster, is Christian Hackenberg, is that correct?
He's one of ours, yeah. So to address the topic of the coaches, when you look around and across our 8 head coaches, you do have Steve Spurrier, the old head ball coach. You get the Hall of Famer and Mike Singletary. You've got Mike Martz, who's won a Super Bowl, and he's out in San Diego. Rick Neuheisel, who's in our Arizona team. Brad Childress is in Atlanta with offensive coordinator Michael Vick. You have guys that have reputable college and NFL careers as head coaches who have won championships or divisions, and the amount of games because they've won, and players that have developed, or that list just goes on and on. And so I think that speaks to the level of football and the quality that we're trying to deliver, that people with their character, their successes and pedigrees signed on to be a part of our organization and do this with us. Our front office, our CEO is Charlie Ebersole, and on the football side of things, Bill Polian, and everybody who's a football fan knows Bill Polian creates the dynasties and the Bills and the Colts and all these things he does. And so he's really running the football operations with guys like J.K. McKay and Hines Ward, Troy Polamalu's on our front office staff, Jared Allen, Justin Tuck, guys who were NFLPA leaders. You have real names and real power and just dynamic individuals leading these organizations and these teams from top to bottom. And then they look at the players, as you mentioned. We do have Christian Hackenberg here as one of our quarterbacks right now, but all of our teams were originally set up. Your first wave of players that you signed all came from regional institutions in your area. So draw a circle around Memphis 5 to 6 hours wide, and we have first right of refusal for those guys' rights, if you will. So there's guy at Ole Miss we like, guy in Memphis, Arkansas, Kentucky. We have first right, LSU. They're assigned to us, and if we like them, we can sign them. Excuse me. If we want to pass, we pass, and someone else can do that. And then you got looking at players who are at schools that are unassigned. So, players are like Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State. There's not a team in that region, so they're kind of free agents to any team in our alliance. And then it just kind of goes to NFL guys or CFL or whatever else. So you've built teams around that region to get a draw. So, right now in our roster of 85, 90 guys, something like that, that will be cut down to 52 for a season, we have 5 or 6 guys that played at Memphis. We have 5 or 6 guys that played at Ole Miss. We have several LSU guys, including Zach Mettenberg and Kenny Hilliard. We've got guys like Zach Stacy out of Vanderbilt, who played for the Jets for a number of years running back. We have these guys that have local name draw for our region, and that's the case for all these teams. And there's obviously a lot of Gators or Seminoles or Hurricanes that play for Spurrier in Orlando, or there's guys that, a lot of the California, like we saw a picture today from the San Diego Fleet minicamp. There was probably 10 UCLA guys posing for a picture. So they're using the local names that people recognize in their media to create these teams, which I think also helps that fan base and creates the, for us here, our first round draft pick for quarterback was Troy Cook out of UT Martin. May not be a well-known name nationally, but he's certainly known here locally. And we've got, again, Christian Hackenberg, who everybody knows from Penn State, and Zach Mettenberger, which really for us, LSU is only, 6 hours away or so, and so people really know his name because of his story and what he did. He transferred, played at LSU and had some time in the NFL. So, again, I think that regional tie and connection to the players will help kind of drive that initial wave of fans.
Most definitely. That's very interesting, because I'd certainly noticed that when prepping for the interview and going up and down the roster, I noticed how many guys you had from Tennessee, from Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Memphis, UT Martin, et cetera. So that certainly makes more sense now. And I figured I didn't know that from the right standpoint, but I didn't know if that was just more of a effort from the, from the team to appeal to the fans. So yeah, no, definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Very conscious decisions. And, you've got a few Pirates, playing for the Alliance right now on rosters. Tight end was Bryce.
You have Williams. Bryce Williams. He actually went to my high school in North Davidson. He's with the Arizona Hotshots.
Yep.
And then Philip Nelson.
Phillip's out of the San Diego team, and he cut his hair off, though. I saw a picture the other day. He cut the mane off. He's no longer this little long locks of hair. But
yes, sir. So, he and Bryce.
Exactly. So you got some guys that are sending their careers that, you know, I think both have, you know, the talent to certainly be there and show their abilities. And so hopefully the Pirate Nation will cheer them on. And hopefully I can sway a few folks from listening today that they'll cheer for Memphis as well, just because of my brief stop and for 5 years there in Greenville.
Well, we're definitely going to pay attention. I've always wanted to go to Memphis and huge Elvis fan. So that's one of my, I've definitely got to make the trip, the Mecca there to Memphis. And of course the blues music and certainly great ribs and now great football there, pro style with the Memphis Express. It's going to be great, I think.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. And again, it's a great city. I've been here now almost 4 months. Every day we, eat somewhere new, meet somebody new, have a new experience. And this city, while it's known for a lot of things historically, as well as some of the things not so good in terms of crime and things current day, it really has a very vibrant scene. And we've kind of talked about it being, we think Memphis is probably what Austin was before Austin became cool, you know. And so I think Memphis is a hidden gem. Obviously, you know, a lot of Pirate fans know it from coming to Liberty Bowls back in the day and being up here. Hopefully they'll return to that in the future. But, I think, the more the merrier. We're certainly welcome all comers. And if anybody heads this way, shoot me a note and love to connect.
No doubt about it, Greg. That's what, Dave, that's the trip you definitely need to make. This one that I made in 94, 95 for the ECU Liberty Bowls against Illinois and Stanford. And then, of course, 2008 and 2009 against Kentucky and Arkansas. It's an unbelievable trip.
Can't wait. And, Greg, thank you again. I know we kept you a long time. We're just very fascinated about the league and how this is all going to work. And love to catch up back with you. Maybe we can during the season or certainly after the season and see how we'll get kind of a recap from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do so. And appreciate you all taking an interest in what we're trying to accomplish with the Alliance. As a startup, we're trying to turn a business one fan at a time. So having the chance to visit with you all tonight, again, certainly great to reconnect with old familiar faces and names from Greenville, but also just to make sure we get some new fans to support the Alliance and what we're trying to accomplish as a league.
Looking forward to it, and hopefully it's successful and it's expansion, and we'll be talking many years to come.
Great. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What an excellent interview that was with Greg Herring, the Vice President of Marketing with the Memphis Express. We're so appreciative to Greg for spending so much time with us discussing a variety of aspects of this new league. Now let's talk to a guy who is certainly no stranger to Pirate Nation. I'm talking about former East Carolina tight end Bryce Williams. Bryce concluded his stellar career in 2015 after 2 years as an all-conference performer for the Pirates. And now Bryce is with the Arizona Hotshots in the AAF. Now let's go to that interview with former Pirate tight end Bryce Williams.
Well, here for our AAF episode, we're very excited about the new football league, and we actually have a number of Pirates in the league. And Bubba, I know we have a special guest, so I'll let you introduce him.
Yeah, we're very excited to have former ECU tight end Bryce Williams with us. He's someone who's certainly no stranger to me, as he played at North Davidson High School, which is my alma mater. He graduated from there in 2011, went up to Marshall, walked on, but then that's what I know, his parents went to ECU, so he opted to come play for the Pirates, and we're awfully glad he did. Had a tremendous career, nearly 100 receptions and more than 1,000 yards. All-conference performer his senior year. Bryce, we appreciate you joining us.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, Bryce, one of the things that comes to mind is right out of the gate, I want to ask you an East Carolina question. You come to mind when it comes to tight ends. That, under the Montgomery era, didn't seem like we really had, a proper fitting, as far as we didn't have, in my eyes, a real strong tight end like yourself. Are you hopeful that under Mike Houston we'll go back to, I'm hearing good things about that, we will have more of a traditional tight end, if you will, back in the Mike Houston era?
Yeah, of course. I'm always excited to see, tight ends being utilized in the game and, in offenses. And, hopefully they can bring that back in the Houston era and, get the I guess let people know that ECU can produce some tight ends.
What do you think about Donnie Cat? Because I know Kirkpatrick being back here at East Carolina as offensive coordinator. Donnie Kay, inside receivers coach when you were at East Carolina.
Oh, yeah, super excited about that. I've yet to be able to get in touch with him, you know, talk to him, and I thought about the office a few weeks ago before I left for training camp and see if he was there, but unfortunately he wasn't. But I think that'll be a great thing, you know, having him as the OC and, you know, him coaching me and all that he taught me. I think he's going to bring a lot of good things back to the Pirates.
Were you surprised when Lincoln left to go to Oklahoma that Donnie wasn't promoted to offensive coordinator at that time?
No, as a player, I never really, I didn't really think that much into things. I just knew opportunities are, you know, given, and coaches, take the best thing, for them. And, seeing Coach K as OC wasn't really anything I really thought about. I just kind of dealt with the decisions that were made, and, you know, we're happy with them.
As far as Bryce, I know we've been following your career. Can you talk about your new gig now with the Arizona Hotshots? I'm very excited about this new league and looking forward to where now after the Super Bowl, it's kind of like you're depressed because you don't have any more football. Well, lo and behold, now we have the AAF where we have more football.
Oh, yes, for sure. And I think that's something that the AAF starting up at that time of the year is, you know, exciting for football fans, and it's also exciting for guys in my position. You know, it's another opportunity to, you know, get noticed by NFL teams, and, because we're always looking for, other opportunities, to get back in the league and everything. So I'm super excited about it and, grateful for the opportunity.
Who's your head coach out there with the Hot Shots?
Rick Neuhauser is our head coach.
Oh, Neuhauser. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Does he sing for you?
He hasn't sang for us yet, but I guess I'll be anxious for when he does. Now you brought that up.
Yeah, he's. I love him and Chris Childers on Sirius XM, and hopefully we can. Maybe you can help us out. We would love to have him on the podcast. I love his. I love his football mind, so to speak.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm definitely enjoying it as he's. I've been around him coaching and the office that we're running and everything, and it's exciting. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Can you talk about where will you guys play, by the way, for the Hot Shots?
When we get back to Arizona, we'll be playing at where the Arizona State plays, in Sun Devil Stadium, if that's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Bryce, when we were speaking earlier today off the air, I know you said that you're going to be in San Antonio. You've been there since January 4th, and that you will be there up until the 29th, I believe it was. And then I think the first game is February 9th. So talk a little bit about over these 3.5 weeks that all 8 teams are in San Antonio, exactly what's taking place. It's kind of unusual that you have all 8 teams at a central location and a training camp occurring.
Yeah, you said all 8 of us are spread out throughout the city and the area, practicing different facilities and different hotels. And we'll be doing one joint practice throughout training camp and everything. Like, we have 2 more weeks of that. And, it's a really unique deal having us, all in one area and, with this whole new league. And it's being ran really well. And, it'll be nice to get some joint practice in with, I think, the Orlando team. So that'll be nice to see.
Go against the old ball coach.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's right.
Spurrier.
Spurrier versus Neuhauser. There we go.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's 2 great offensive minds. Wow. 2 former quarterbacks, too.
Now, at this point, Bryce, you've been in San Antonio a little over a week. So have you run into former quarterback Philip Nelson at ECU? I mean, he's, of course, with the San Diego Fleet. So,
yeah, unfortunately not. During this time, you tend to be pretty busy, with football. But tomorrow being my off day, I don't know if it'll be his or not. Maybe that will be one thing I'd like to try and do, maybe hit him up and see if he's free or not to – just talk with him, see how things are going I guess with his team and everything, but unfortunately I've not yet got to meet up with him.
Bryce, one of the questions I had is I knew about you and Phillip, obviously, when trying to have you guys on the show, but are there other Pirates that maybe I don't know about under the radar that or have made teams with the AAC besides you guys?
None that I know of. I think it's just Phil and I.
Okay. Maybe that's why I was wondering if it was more. Okay.
Yeah, but there's several guys that I've played, you know, been with on teams and stuff that are on other teams, so that's exciting to hopefully get to meet up with them.
When you were talking about the NFL and guys and opportunities, are these guys that are like you that have their NFL talent, or are there some guys that maybe this is going to be probably their only chance at pro football?
I guess it varies. I mean, we're all, you know, this whole league's made up of great players, and I guess, you know, it'll be whether there's NFL talent, you know, if NFL teams, you know, see that player as one and want to give them a shot. You know, for others, this may be the only shot of pro football, and that's definitely nothing to be ashamed about by any means. But, yeah, for me, hopefully, not looking at this, you know, looking at this as another, you know, opportunity to get back in the league for sure.
Are there any, do you know of any, like, former NFL veterans, like maybe guys that played 5 or 6 years in the league that are trying to get another shot at it, you know, that have been established in the league before and are trying to get back in that are a part of this?
Yeah, there's, I think, Trent Richardson. He's with the Birmingham team. A friend of mine, Aaron Murray, is with Atlanta team. And I think we have a few guys, I think, that have played a handful of years in the league as well. I'm still getting to know, you know, names and things. So, but I do know that there are some that have been in the league for a few years on my team as well.
How are the, without getting too many details, how are the salaries in the new league versus, say, the Canadian Football League?
I want to say I'm not too familiar with the Canadian Football League, but you know, everybody's paid the same amount. And, unfortunately, you know, without the, I guess, the 10 weeks, you know, comfortable amount of money. And, you know, they're definitely, you know, I guess, you know, better than nothing, I guess you can say.
So everybody's paid the same amount. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something they plan on sticking with? Do you know?
I think so, but the way it's running, it's pretty interesting how pretty much there's ways to, you know, get, I guess, bonuses. It's like the offense scores touchdowns, makes big plays. Like everybody sort of gets a percentage of however much that's worth. And with the, you know, I guess the league office, you know, decides all that. And then, like, social media stuff and fan interaction and stuff. They explained it to us and trying to grasp it. I wrote it down. I can't remember it. But
Do you get any extra points towards your money for doing podcasts?
I don't know. Hopefully we've
it's a form of social media.
That is true. Hopefully some AAF people hear it and hear that y'all are promoting it. The East Coast.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
Bryce, do you have a favorite memory from your time at East Carolina, a particular game that sticks out to you the most?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough question. I've got several. You know, of course, the whole time at ECU was an amazing memory. There's some good ones. But
your top three?
I'd say beating Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, because what was like 30 years or something since that's happened?
Yeah, it had been since the 91 season.
Yeah, that game, then beat NC State in, you know, in Raleigh, and then beating, you know, Carolina at third place, and then at home. I guess that's four, but I guess beating all those ACC teams and, I guess you could say, dominating the state during those years.
Was your 2013? That's right, our state. Was the 2013 season your first season here? Was that your favorite season? Because of 10 wins.
I guess it was. Yes, sir. I guess that's one. That one we played NC State. Yeah, that was definitely a fun year. It's 2012, I think. I don't think I played that. Did I play it? Yeah.
2012 was the year you had to sit out. And
okay.
And then 13, you referenced the obviously you were talking about the Virginia Tech game in 14 up there where they had that ball that early in the ball game, I think it was maybe our first or second possession that got deflected up in the air and then you grabbed it and ran it down to about three or something.
Oh my God.
The previous year. I think this was your first college touchdown and came against Virginia Tech in that 15-10 loss at Dowdy-Ficklin where you scored our only touchdown of the game. But in addition to those two plays, some of the ones or a play that really stands out was that 2015 game that you had against Tulsa where you hurdled the player.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was a fun game too. I remember that being a nice day to play football too. I remember it being a nice day.
It was.
Yeah, that
it
was fun.
A nice October day, not hot, not cold.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's funny we're talking about ECU. I had a buddy send me just some funny video during I forgot we're going to the buses or something for just got done like Sunday night prior or something, and we were just talking about how great those days were.
And they feel. It feels like, to be honest, Bryce, I wish you guys had some more eligibility because it feels like it's funny that's only been a few years, but it feels like it's been like a decade ago with all
that. Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, so with the turmoil we've gone through here with Montgomery and Comfer and so on and so forth, the days of Shane Carton and Bryce Williams and Montavious Cooper. And
oh, my God, yeah.
It seems like that was... Miss you guys, and hopefully we'll get back on the winning ways that we were when you guys were here. Now with Houston and Donnie K and all in town.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I feel good about it.
Now, Bryce, when you came out of ECU, obviously the first NFL team that you were signed by was the New England Patriots. Can you tell us any about that organization? I know you weren't there. Awfully long, but can you tell us as far as any Brady stories or Belichick, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, definitely coming in as a rookie, it was quite overwhelming, intimidating, just, you know, hearing the Patriots and, you know, Coach Belichick is obviously an amazing coach and, you know, he runs tight ship and everything. It's a little intimidating, not going to lie, but I learned a whole lot, you know, while I was there and, you know, definitely a great experience to be, you know, in such a, I guess, well looked at or organization and everything. I enjoyed it, but it was definitely stressful at times, but it was definitely a great experience.
Bryce, before we wrap this thing up, I have one more question about the league. What is the playoff format? Eight teams, how many get into the playoffs?
I'm not sure how they're going to go about doing that, but I think it's just 2 weeks of playoffs.
Okay.
You know, and obviously in the end, you know, play for the league championship, but I'm not, I guess, you know, we have the East Division and the West Division, so it'll just be, I'm assuming, what, top two teams in each?
That's what I was thinking, four teams.
Yeah, four teams, yeah, would be the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So half the league, it's four teams.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'd be interested to see how things play out and also if they expand the league if it's successful.
Oh, yeah.
Put a team in Raleigh. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
I know they're trying to stay away from a lot of bigger, like when I say big markets, they wouldn't put a team in Charlotte because you already have the Panthers. So that's why I was saying Raleigh is such a big area. There'd be a lot of people that. I think would go there. Selfishly, I would love to see it because it's a shorter drive.
And oh yeah,
it's for me, for Kyle, but not for Bubba. Bubba's closer to go to Charlotte. But we appreciate you, man, and very excited to have you and Phillip in the league because honestly, that gives me reason to. I know it sounds terrible, but it gives me a reason now to really pay closer attention. I was going to watch the league regardless because of just curiosity factor.
Right.
But now we have a real reason to two reasons to watch the league, right, guys?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be cheering for you guys there in Arizona and for Philip in San Diego, and good luck to you, Bryce. Get some time.
Oh yeah. Thank y'all so much.
Appreciate it, man, and definitely would love to have you back on. Maybe we can have you back on after the season, and love to get your take on about the league and how it went.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love it.
Appreciate it, Bryce.
All right, man. Hope you have a good night.
Thank you. Y'all too.
All right. Bye now. Bubba, that's going to be an interesting, definitely an interesting league. Great to have Bryce Williams. And let's talk a little bit about the games, the matchups for tonight. There's two games and then two games tomorrow, being there's eight teams. So there's always going to be, I guess that's what's really cool about it, is two games on Saturday and two games on Sunday.
Yeah, small league, I mean, but
yeah.
I'm very interested to see how things go. Like you said, later tonight we have the Atlanta Legends squaring off with the old ball coach Steve Spurrier and the Orlando Apollos down in Orlando. I believe they're actually playing it. I believe they refer to it as Camping World Stadium now, but the Citrus Bowl Stadium.
Right.
And then the other game tonight is the San Diego Fleet, which includes our very own Philip Nelson as one of their quarterbacks. They will be on the road in this game as well, is on CBS, taking on the San Antonio Commanders.
And that's where, as you know, they've been working out, and we're going to try to still get up with Nelson. His schedule is trying to get his beauty sleep, and so we'll try to see if we can get him in season, right, Bubba?
Yeah, that's what we definitely plan on, having Phil Nelson on at some point. Kind of a unique aspect of this league is what you referenced, how all eight teams went to the San Antonio area and practiced at different facilities there, be it high schools or what have you. So that was something that was very unusual. I guess kind of like spring training, but even more so, because it was even more concentrated in the San Antonio area. But the head coach of the San Antonio Commanders is none other than Mike Riley, the former Oregon State and Nebraska head coach. So that's something to keep an eye on. And the head coach of the San Diego Fleet is none other than Mike Martz, who, of course, led the greatest show on turf.
They've done an excellent job
with the St. Louis Rams back in the day.
That's right. And they've done an excellent job. The point I was going to make is with the league, with the players and the coaches are just top-notch coaches. And I think the league is going to, if they can hold their own, will be great to see it not compete against the NFL. I think that's a huge mistake. But we have the two games we told you about tonight, and then tomorrow for Sunday there's two more games, right?
Yeah, there are. At 4 o'clock on Sunday, you have the Memphis Express. Of course, we talked to Greg Herring earlier. He's involved with the marketing for the Express. But the Express are led by NFL legend and the Chicago Bears great Mike Singletary. And they'll be down at Legion Field taking on the Birmingham Iron. And when you look at that Birmingham Iron roster, Dave, it's one that includes several intriguing players. It includes former Alabama quarterback Blake Sims, who led the Tide to a college football playoff berth back in 2014. It also has Trent Richardson, who ran for more than 3,000 yards during his career with the Crimson Tide. And then you have, of course, everybody, if you follow college football whatsoever, you're aware of the pick six game where Chris Davis caught that ball just inside the back of the end zone, ran it back 109 yards for one of the best finishes. And some people, especially Auburn fans, consider that probably the best finish in college football history, just a remarkable play. And one of those that you remember exactly where you were. Unfortunately, I was not in front of the TV. I was on the road, but I remember I was following the game on my phone, and it was just like, what in the world just happened? Auburn just won.
Yeah, exactly. That is, you think that Alabama's got the game won, and then it turns a dramatic turn of events. And I remember where I remember it is, I was listening to the radio, and I remember they cut into play the Auburn call at the end of that game. And, you know, even though I'm not an Auburn fan, that was pretty daggone impressive. And that's what I love about radio and about podcasting is the call from those announcers for that game is legendary for the way that game unfolded. And that's just what makes the charm of sports and for broadcasting is when you have the announcers being so excited about their team, that particular team, and what happens on the field.
Yeah, it is. I remember that call vividly, and just like you said, and just hearing that Auburn play-by-play guy, I'm sorry, or we're sorry that we don't recall his name right offhand, but just an unbelievable call, and the thing about it, Dave, is you remember, I guess, the week prior, he had the unbelievable finish against Georgia. So two remarkable finishes there on the
field.
And he said, it's funny, he said, you're not going to keep him off the field tonight. So, and needless to say, that was definitely the case as they were scurrying onto the field from every which way. But, the other game taking place, the nightcap, is the Salt Lake Stallions. They're led by Dennis Erickson, of course, tremendous stint at Miami. And then also at Oregon State, I remember when Chad Johnson was at Oregon State. So,
Ocho Cinco.
And then of course, Dennis Erickson had time in the NFL as well. But in the Salt Lake Stallions, they'll be out in Tempe taking on the Arizona Hotshots. And, of course, we talked to Bryce Williams on this show, and Bryce is a tight end with the Hot Shots, and they're playing at Sun Devil Stadium. So that's a matchup that's featuring two high-profile coaches from yesteryear, if you will, in college football with Dennis Erickson and Rick Neuheisel, because, of course, he had excellent stints at Colorado. And then he, after that, was at Washington. I believe I have my order correct on that.
I'm going to be interested to see the games, Bubba, are only supposed to, you know, as we talked about with Greg earlier in the podcast, games are only supposed to be about 2.5 hours. They're only going to do commercial breaks, I think, in between quarters. They're going to have a split screen, I think, on some of the, I guess, where they can run the 30-second commercials or whatever. But lots of cool things. I love the stuff about the gambling and the fantasy. I thought that was pretty neat what they're going to do there, try to do there. As, again, earlier, as Greg talked about, 8 teams. They're looking, I think, if things go well, they could expand. You never know. Maybe that'd be kind of cool to have a team in Raleigh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It will be interesting to see because, like you say, most of those teams are located in areas that and intentionally, of course, that do not have NFL teams like Salt Lake, Memphis, Orlando, et cetera. Whereas the XFL teams, like this is something I'm sure we'll be talking about on the coming podcast when Kyle's able to join us, just talking about Bob Stoops' return to coaching as he will be the coach of, and I believe it's maybe the general manager, but there's a dual title, a dual role there.
I didn't know that.
As he will be with the Dallas XFL team.
That's interesting. They've tried to – the strategy is – you're right, Bubba. I hadn't thought about that. The strategy for the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, is trying to get it where it's nice-sized cities that don't have it. And it seems like the XFL is one that – big cities that already have one, but you're looking for, I guess – the TV markets, the really big markets. Like I know Chicago has a team, right? If my memory serves me right.
I'm not sure on that, but I believe you're correct.
But it seems like that they're going after really big metros and big markets where there's another strategy for the AAF. So we'll see which one works. But I think, I'll be honest with you, I think both leagues, again, don't be stupid and be like the USFL. The USFL would still be in existence today if they hadn't gone against the NFL. And as long as there's as long as they do it like a spring league or like they're doing, there's plenty of networks now that were not there the last time the XFL did it. And of course, AAF is brand new. But there's so much need for content now. I think those leagues will they're Bubba, you know that they're trying really hard with all these networks now. They need more content. So I really believe that unless they go against the NFL or something crazy like that, that they'll do very well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them do well. I'm certainly interested to see how it goes. I remember when the XFL, the first time around before it bombed, they did a good job promoting it initially, and my family and I and some friends got together to watch that first game from Las Vegas, and because we had our interest peaked, and but it didn't take long, just like many of the viewers, yeah, to see that league probably wasn't going to go anywhere. So hopefully this will be different, excuse me. And I know earlier you were referencing some of the rule differences, and I don't recall exactly everyone that you mentioned, so forgive me if I repeat some of those, but there are no extra points, so everything has to be a two-point conversion.
That's correct.
So it's almost like a college overtime, starting with the third overtime, and then you have no kickoffs. Each possession is just going to begin at the 25-yard line, and that's something that's been discussed at least a little bit in regards to the pro and college game, maybe not seriously by those who matter, but just thrown out there and tossed around because of all the concussion stuff. I certainly hope that never becomes the case, because I can't imagine the game of football without a kickoff, but we'll see how this goes. And then rather than kind of along those same lines as far as the concussion issue, they're not going to have onside kicks in the game. So the onside kick, so to speak, would be having the ball, I think it's like at your own 28-yard line, and you have to convert a fourth down and 12 in order to retain the possession.
I didn't know that rule.
And then only five defensive players are allowed to rush the quarterback. And then if you do go to overtime, you have a first and goal at the 10-yard line, and you do not have the option of kicking a field goal. And if you score and then the other team scores in the game, the game is tied after that overtime, and then it remains a tie unless, of course, it's in the playoffs where the tie has to be broken. And then you have that drop in play clock from 40 in the NFL to 35 in the AAF.
Right.
And then there's some differences in the way the game's officiated as well, as there'll be what's called a sky judge that reviews the plays from the booth. And so those are some of the rule differences to keep an eye on later tonight if you're watching one of those ball games.
It's going to be really interesting how things play out. One thing I want to mention too, Bob, about the XFL is maybe we can get some of that folks on as well. But the XFL last time was run by wrestling people, and you could tell that it was like wrestling meets football with the overhyped thing and the jerseys with crazy nicknames on the back and stuff like that. And this time around, Vince McMahon is actually going to have football people running the league. So, big difference than what we had before.
Yeah, you have someone like Vince McMahon who's been as successful in a lot of areas as he has in the wrestling world. So, I'm sure that, I mean, anybody that has that type of success, they're extremely competitive, and I'm sure that hasn't set well his lack of success with his previous XFL.
That's correct.
XFL venture. So he accepted the challenge, and it'll be interesting to see how things go in the XFL 2.0. But a little bit more about the league. That's what each team has a 52-man roster.
Right.
And you play 10 games. The top two teams from each conference will advance to the playoffs.
Right. And then they have it's two games, and the championship game is actually going to be April 27th, Bubba, in Las Vegas.
All right. Yeah, Dave, like I said, the regular season concludes on April 14th. And then the top two teams from each division will advance into the playoffs. And the championship game will be played on, I believe it's April 27th in Las Vegas.
Yeah. And, you know, the great thing is with Las Vegas is a tremendous city. And I assume they're getting the Raiders. I don't know. But that's one that definitely football would be your smart to. I'm glad they have the championship. I guess the championship game will be there every year. That's my guess. And if that's the case, that's a brilliant move by the league. And if they do expansion, I tell you, I know we've talked about before, but I'm still surprised at you're looking at the year 2019, and you've got now where Norfolk, Virginia, does not have a team. I just don't understand that. That's a huge metro, and they don't have the Tidewater area that I like a lot. They don't have a pro team. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that changes. Like you say, there's a huge population in that area, and they certainly supported that Old Dominion program right from the get-go, and they just had sellout after sellout, and I realize it's a 20,000-seat stadium. But, back when Old Dominion was playing Chawan, I don't care who the opponent was, it was sold out. So with the way they filled Foreman Field, I would not be surprised to see that happen. It may just be a matter of, they're going to have a new facility.
A stadium, right?
Yeah, a larger stadium, and then a stadium with those modern amenities and luxury boxes, et cetera.
And I also tell you another reason why they probably don't is you got a team like the Redskins that a lot of people, you know, we have the Panthers for North Carolina and South Carolina, but the Redskins, you look at West Virginia, Maryland, and Virginia, that's Redskins territory. And it just makes you wonder if that, but we could do a whole podcast on, we're not part of the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce or, we love the 757. We love those great football players and a lot of great coaches and all that. So hopefully one day they will get a team for sure. But that's for another day, as they say. Did you have anything before we go, Bubba?
No, I look forward to watching a little football these next couple of days and seeing what this new league brings to the table and talking about it in coming podcasts.
Do you have a team you're pulling for, or are you? An AAF?
Probably not really. Of course, the Arizona Hotshots and the San Diego Fleet because Bryce Williams and Philip Nelson are playing. But outside of that, not really. I do look forward. You have Greg with the Memphis Express. I do look forward to seeing how the Orlando Apollos do under the old ball coach. Because he's always entertaining, and I look forward to watching some of his press conferences because there's never a dull moment. So,
I remember when the Vanderbilt fans, do you remember that years ago, Bubba, when that's one of my favorites, is when they were complaining about Florida running up with a score on Vanderbilt, and he said something to the effect of, get used to it.
Yeah, and then I
was paraphrased. I can't remember that's one of my favorite.
And I remember the SEC story. I believe it is. It's either that or a 30 for 30, but it's one about Steve Spurrier. And so there he is talking about how. So I was watching a 30 for 30 or one of the SEC stories with Steve Spurrier. And he said something that was pretty funny. I believe it was that he was asking whoever the host was. He said, how many former Heisman Trophy winners also are current FBS head coaches? He said, well, there's one, me.
And it was something like that. It was just vintage Steve Spurrier. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of his. I think he's hilarious. He's on my bucket list for the podcast. I'd love to have him on, and I know the chances are probably slim that we can get him, but love Steve Spurrier. Hopefully he does well, and I'm hoping the league does well. I really believe in the league. I like what they're doing. I looked up for the heck of it, by the way, Bubba. Tickets were, as we were talking to Greg earlier in the podcast, like $14. I mean, for a professional game, and you've got another thing they've done a nice job of, is the talent level is really good in the AAF. I'm not sure about the XFL, what they have, but we've been looking at the rosters and the players, and they've done a nice job of getting good players. So this might be a way that the NFL can support this league, and it can be kind of like a minor league, a de facto minor league for them. I don't know about the XFL, but I could see where if they play their cards right and they have expansion, they keep expanding the way they want to, that you could see something where a guy like a lot of Pirates trying to make the league, and they just so close. Well, you have this league where they can go and get more experience, and gives maybe a chance for them to earn a roster spot later on for the NFL. Who knows?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I, just glancing through the rosters prior to that interview with Greg Herring, I noticed how localized everything was. And then he, of course, in that interview, alluded to that and explained the thought process there. And it made total sense. I mean, because it was just like and when you're recruiting somebody to play at your college or university, you want someone preferably that's fairly close, because not only is it an in-state scholarship, but it's also, I mean, they're going to be bringing friends and family members.
Right.
And it's going to bode well for your attendance. It's going to bode well for the economics of things as far as ticket sales and then concessions and all that stuff. It just snowballs. So it's very smart on their part. And like you said earlier, maybe one day we'll have a team in Raleigh where we'll have a bunch of East Carolina, NC State,
right,
North Carolina, Duke, et cetera, players making up that roster. Because I really think that you can imagine if there was a – obviously David Garrard played in the NFL, but, I mean, let's say – I mean, you have former players like him or whoever,
yep,
In these modern times, like a Trayvon Brown or whoever, hopefully he'll be playing in the league. But whoever those players are, I mean, Pirate Nation or Wolfpack fans or whoever, I think would really show out to support those guys.
They would. It's going to be interesting to see and interesting. But we'll definitely keep our eye on things. And Bubba, I appreciate all the help as always. You've done a great job on behind the scenes on this one, on coordinating everything. And folks, make sure, let's support the AAF, because again, Bubba brings up a great point about the Pirates. Maybe we can, league will have more Pirates, and maybe down the line, if we can support the league, then we can get another team where we can even have even more Pirates on there. So we'll see how it all plays out. And it's one of those things, the first, it's almost like a first episode for a TV show. You got to get this right, or if not, it might be a doomsday. So let's hope that we'll stay positive and say that it'll do very well.
Yeah.
Sorry for Kyle Barber. Appreciate him. And Bubba, appreciate you very much. You've been listening to the AAF special right here on the Sports Objective.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.